Thank you, we're doing perfect.
Okay, this is on, and we're all on.
All right. Come back into session. One more in-house. I see Susan Rudenberg. Yes, that's what I spoke earlier.
Thank you. My name is Susan Freudenberg, and I live in Yreka, California. My husband spoke earlier, so you've already heard our background with the camp. I think just as I've been listening to the conversation, I've had a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share. If there's anything we've learned in the last 2 or 3 years, it's that facts can be kind of squishy things. We get information, and we tend to gather information according to what supports our best interest. And that's very natural in human beings, and it's not even wrong. But I know we collect information, we collect facts, but we might not collect all of them. With COVID, we got whatever we wanted to believe about masks and vaccines. We've seen it happen. As we sit here today, I'm hearing competing facts. And what I'm thinking is those facts may be all true, but not complete. The truth, on the other hand, is not a squishy thing. There is a truth at the bottom of these water issues, and the fire issues, and the road issues, and the noise issues. And we've had several people stand up and just briefly say, I am here with a very, very extensive report. And so I guess, you know, as supervisors, you have to take all this into account. But I just really hope that you'll look at those reports very, very carefully, because I believe that is where the truth is more likely to be found. Here's just a brief example, and then I'll wrap it up. When we moved to Yreka, we moved onto a street that was not a through street. And a few years after we moved there, the street was put through. It was now a through street, and we looked at that happening, and we thought, wow, there's going to be a lot more traffic and noise, and people are going to come screaming down there, and our kids are not going to be quite as safe. And you know what? At the end, all of that proved to be true. But I didn't own the property at the top of Terrace Drive. I didn't have a right to control that. So while I really respect the things that people are saying here about this property, I want to state my support for the Kidder Creek expansion and just really urge you as a board of supervisors to think about the common good of all the county. When growth happens, people do get disadvantaged. Sometimes they even get hurt. But this is an amazing operation. It's been well researched for 14, 15 years. And I really believe they have a strong plan. And I urge you to support it.
Thank you. Any other in-house comments? Seeing none, we'll do online. We'll just do it in order there. Mr. John Hessler. 100%. 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you well.
Great. Good morning, and thank you for letting me speak. My name is John Hessler, and I have been writing EIRs and CEQA documents for the past 42 years on a wide variety of projects. So over the past several years, I have been donating my time to provide technical assistance to Kidder Creek regarding compliance with CEQA. So why do we prepare EIRs? We do this to present factual information by independent experts, which helps you reach a decision on a project. And it separates the facts from conjecture and kind of off-the-comment remarks. And given all the comments and assertions regarding this particular EIR, as well as questions pertaining to your role as CEQA lead agency, I want to use my time to share my professional opinion on a number of key issues that you have been presented with. So first of all, you have received comments that you are in violation of CEQA because you first prepared an initial study and then a focused EIR based on the initial study. Not only is this allowed by CEQA, and it is in widespread practice throughout California, but the CEQA guidelines specifically state that one of the purposes of an initial study is to focus an EIR on environmental issues determined to be significant and to identify impacts that are not significant. I point out that the public and other agencies were afforded the chance to review all the technical studies, the initial study, and the EIR with four public circulation periods over the past 7 years. Number two, you have been told that you have violated CEQA because a mitigation monitoring and reporting program was not prepared. In fact, this document has been prepared and is an attachment to your staff report for your consideration. Number three, you've been told that the EIR is inadequate because various analyses are out of date because they were prepared as far back as 2016. Those analyses were prepared when the county initiated work on the initial study and represent the existing baseline conditions at that time. This is what is required by CEQA, which states that the existing setting should represent conditions at the time environmental studies are commenced. I point out that no EIR would ever be finished if it were forced to update existing conditions and regulations at every step of the CEQA process, which often spans multiple years, as it did in this case. Number four, you have been accused of inadequate responses to various analyses. These type of claims are commonplace in CEQA, but here are my points for you to consider to remember. Number one, the analysis in the EIR were prepared by your technical experts and reviewed by your professional staff in the planning department.
Mr. Hessler, I'll just have to ask you to concluding statement.
Okay, I'll just go down to the last part here. I leave you with this fact. CEQA specifically states that an EIR not indeed engage in speculation and analysis of hypothetical what-if scenarios, and it does not need to be perfect. What is important for you is to determine whether your staff and your technical experts have made a good faith effort at full disclosure of environmental impacts. And I submit to you that based on 7 years of studies and analysis, the answer to this question is unequivocally yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hessler. I see a raised hand up there, Marcia Birch.
Good morning. My name is Marcia Birch, and I represent Keep Scott Valley Rural. I submitted several comment letters, and I'll just emphasize this morning that it is my view that the CEQA process being followed for this project is inconsistent with the law. Mr. Hessler just pointed out that an initial study is used to identify those areas of impact that will be the most significant, and of course those are often delved into much more deeply in an environmental impact report. But there is no mechanism in CEQA that allows for a lead agency to pick and choose among areas of impact to include in an EIR. An EIR is either required or it is not, and it's a full EIR. Using a six-year-old draft mitigated negative declaration for some of the environmental impacts, along with a limited EIR, which really is partial, it's not a full EIR. I do think that there has been some discussion in the staff report materials of a fourth district case that really is not on point here. We are in the third district, and the third district has flatly rejected this cobbling together of, you know, different CEQA documents. CEQA isn't a statute that's designed to generate paperwork. It's a statute that's designed to facilitate excellent decision making. And in this case, it's not serving its purpose because, you know, Mr. Hessler pointed out, this is where you get your objective information in the environmental impact report, and it hasn't been done. A full environmental impact report has not been prepared. I also want to highlight that there is not sufficient evidence in the record that this project is consistent with the general plan or with the Scott Valley area plan. In fact, I think the evidence shows just the opposite. So we do believe that there is inconsistency with the applicable planning documents as well.
Thank you, Ms. Birch. Is that conclusion, Ms. Birch?
Yes, it does.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Birch. I didn't make sure we didn't cut you off. I believe next is Ms. Chrissy Reynolds.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I wasn't planning to speak on this, but as I've been listening, I have to say, as a resident that's gone through something with an environmental impact report and the benefits of a project, I have to say, speaking up for the residents, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. So I think you've heard about traffic noise, water usage, fire. I can tell you, as a resident where I live, I felt definitely not heard by the people in charge of the documents, and I would put my support in favor of the residents, not discounting the benefits of the project, because obviously the project is good. But I think that there are other places in the world and in, you know, just in the state where there could be Kidder Creek camps, but you have to really take into consideration the residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reynolds. And then the phone number, 2131 being the final four letters, numbers.
Yes, this is Ann Marsh. One of the most important things in this EIR that has been avoided is the traffic that is generated by day use, because the EIR based their traffic count on the overnight stays, now being 622. But you heard the camp director, Andy Lorkin, extol the virtues of numerous plentiful day camps that are happening there, and this traffic is affecting the community right now. The people that live on South Kidder Creek Road can tell you that they've been exponentially impacted. So that traffic needs to be counted in the EIR, which they glossed over, but you have a letter that I submitted yesterday or Sunday that shows what could happen, because there's nothing in the conditions that have been set forth that would keep what I put in that letter from happening. As the lady that just spoke said, and I agree with her, if this were the only camp in the world, I totally agree with the project. If the camp stayed the way it is right now, I could support it. I'm sure it's doing good. But all these great supports because of the positive impact are not to be considered as part of CEQA. Only if the overriding conditions thing were in there would you be even looking at that. An alternative place for this camp would be the ultimate solution, not at the end of a dead-end road which impacts so many people in this community. And I thank you for hearing my comments.
Thank you, Ms. Marsh. Any more online?
Showing none online.
None online. I'll come back to the hearing process. Any rebuttals by proponents? Any rebuttals by opponents? Oh, yes, absolutely.
Thank you. The question I've heard this morning
Sir,
is...
Sir, sorry, because of Zoom, we need your name for the
okay.
record as well.
Andy Working.
Thank you.
The question that I've heard this morning is what's best for all? I think there's unanimous consent that the camp is a good thing. It's good for kids. It's good for families right now. The question seems to be about the size. What's the right size that we should be looking to, you know, pursue? Obviously, we hear our neighbors. We respect them. We thank them for sharing their opinions. We've heard them many times through inviting them up to camp, through town hall meetings, through one-on-one meetings. We have listened to them. We respect them. I'm also a neighbor, right? I live right next to the camp. I have 7 children. I'm concerned about the traffic and the noise for my kids, for my family as well. And so I just want to say thank you to our neighbors who are speaking to raise some of these concerns. But it really seems to be about the size. Our CEQA, we have done that good faith effort. We have been working, as I mentioned earlier, with the county planning department. We have done everything that they have asked us to do. And there has been, through the EIR, through CEQA, there have been no significant impacts legally, right? There is no legal significant impact that we are looking at that would cause us to not be able to move forward with this EIR. We understand the concerns of our neighbors about traffic noise, the kids playing in the pond, maybe they're going to be doing that too late at night. We hear that. We have plans, and there are mitigations in place to address many of those things. Also, you heard John Hester say, you know, that we can't take into account the what-if scenarios. And we have taken into account many of those things. We've looked at, well, what if this happens, right? But we can't look into a crystal ball and see, you know, what's going to happen down the road. And can we make decisions based on what if? We need to continue to live our lives while still doing our best effort to address those things so that we're prepared, so that if one of those worst-case scenarios does happen, that we're ready, and we're ready to respond and move forward to take care of our campers as well as our neighbors down the road. I want to end by saying, and focusing on the positive impacts of this plan. You've heard it today from many people. There's an impact on kids currently, and there will be. There will be more impact on kids and families and youth. We'll continue to keep kids out of the juvenile systems. We'll continue to keep people moving forward to be CEOs and then board members doing positive things like Craig Thompson. There will be more of that if we are allowed to move forward with our plan. There'll be the positive impact on our local schools. We're going to have more opportunity for our local schools to come out and enjoy a beautiful place. We're going to have more opportunities for families, local families, to come out and enjoy a beautiful place. And also the revenue that comes into the community. As I mentioned earlier, we hired 47 local staff last summer. Those were full-time, summer staff, hourly, high school kids, college kids, adults. We hired 47 staff. All of those families that come into the community to drop their kids off, they're spending money here in the community. But the most important thing is, and as Mike mentioned, Mike, our CEO, we are greedy about the impact that this has on kids. We think that we need more of it. We think that we can provide that. And I think, personally, I've been in camping. I'm a third-generation camp director now. I've given my life to camping and to investing into kids. It had a huge impact on my life. But as Craig said, I wouldn't be here standing in front of you if it wasn't for camp and the positive outcomes that counselors had on my life, the experience that they had on my life, the influence that they were able to give to me. Our kids need that today, maybe more than ever. And I know that, you know, 50 years ago, the adults in the room were saying that as well. Our kids need this now more than ever, right? But I think it's true. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of lack of purpose. And at camp, those are the things that we're developing in kids. We're developing grit. We're developing overcoming of challenges. We're developing understanding who kids are and who they were made to be so that they can have a purpose and continue to give back to the communities that they live in as well as to the world. And so thank you, opponents, for sharing. I would encourage you, we have all of our experts here. As I mentioned, our EIR has been robust. I would encourage you to invite those people up to address many of the questions that have been brought up this morning if you have further questions about those things. Thank you.
Mr. Warkin, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Warkin. Opponents, rebuttal?
Sure,
none online. Oh, there was public comment. We heard the public comment. Sure. You're fine. And
I apologize, we have one more.
Oh.
There was
Wasn't there wasn't any opponents, no.
Okay.
Yeah, she might be racing for another one. So, Ms. Christie, yeah, yours was public comment, and we will recognize you for item 8A. I know you wanted to talk on that subject. So I'll bring you back now, tours. We're not closing the hearing, Ms. Wendy. I just want to formally say that.
Correct.
And I'll bring it back to the board for board questions and dialogue. Treasurer Howe.
Lots of dialogue. Where do I start? I start with a joke. all been here a long time, and I said to somebody out in the hall, there's nothing that I know that brings this many people out in Scott Valley except for the Valley Wide Yard Sale. with that said, I want to thank you for coming on. I heard you. I've been hearing you through emails, and can't go to the grocery store or the hardware store without bumping into somebody and talking about this project. So I want to talk a little bit about this decision. What's my role? You know, I'm tugged and pulled and pulled and tugged to support the program. You don't want me to do that, because that would be your government stepping in and making one religion more important than another, or a religious program concurrence by a government entity. So that's not really my role. That would violate, I believe, the Constitution and my oath of office. So on the aspects of the program, I fully support it. I've had kids that work there. My kids have been to the camp. My grandkids have been to the camp. I've been to the camp lots of times. I've been involved in outdoor education in my previous job and still. And teach outdoor ed from time to time. So you know, I'm in full support of the program. It matches my faith. I think there's no other program more important than reaching out and giving some guidance to youth today, because they're directionless from what I see. On the other hand, the job I do have, sitting in this role, is to make a decision whether the record that's been put in front of me follows law, follows all of the county processes, and asks all the right questions and has the right answers. So with that said, it's strange to sit here at times in that on the end of the line as your elected official, and I don't interact with the Planning Commission for the last 14 years. So I'm waiting for the product to get here and then kind of make a judgment last minute on it, hoping that somebody covered everything. And it gets a little difficult at times because there are a lot of questions I would have that I'd asked 14 years ago. So with that said, as last week, I asked for some additional staff work. And I asked for some agencies to weigh in that have not on some specific aspects of things that I've heard here today. Water, fire, zoning. and that work is not complete yet, and it's not part of the record. So I'm going to make the motion today to actually send it back to the Planning Commission to incorporate everything that I've asked for and bring a complete record back to us after they've made the consideration. And so that is my motion today.
You have a motion? Is there a second by any colleagues?
I'll second that.
You'll second that, Supervisor Compton? All right. Any discussion by board members on that motion? No discussion. I will call for a roll call vote, Ms. Wendy.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Okay. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye as well, Ms. Wendy.
Okay.
So we've done item 9C. I'd like to thank everybody here who presented and the decorum of all those that presented on the subject. It's emotionally charged for what's going to happen.
Through the chair, I don't expect what I've asked for to take very long. But there are critical issues. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. Of course, the decorum in the room. I'm going to move on to another agenda. Yes.
I've got a quick question then. Maybe this is for council. If this is going to be going back to the planning commission, would the board officially then close the hearing? Because there's an ordinance to be considered as well as a resolution.
Yeah, I would close the hearing.
Okay. All right. That is when the close the hearing.
Thank you. So if it's going to come back, then we would need it to go back through the public hearing process,
correct, yeah.
Publication and all that. So that's just for planning.
Oh. Yes, sir. You had a quick question?
Can I come up?
Come on up for your quick question. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'll ask for you to come up. So, yes.
Andy Workin, I will be told what those things are so that we can, or is the planning department already aware of those things, or... and then my second question, obviously we worked hard to get all of our experts here today to answer your questions, and would encourage you, if you have questions about fire, CAL FIRE here, water, our water guys are here, traffic, noise, this process has been long and costly, and every time they come back to another meeting, that costs the camp more, and so we'd just encourage the board to consider that. Since we worked hard to get all of those people here today to ask, to answer your questions as it relates to our project.
I appreciate your question. I'm pretty sure we'll consider the cost. Unfortunately, the questions I have are very technical in nature, and I don't want them answered on the fly.
Yeah.
I want them in written format.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Portman. With that, we're going to stay in public hearings and move on to another public hearing.
Which one is next?
Sorry, a little paper trip, paperwork.
Is it just possible to mention one thing?
No more. No, thank you. So what we're going to do is open the public hearing for the Williamson Act contracts.
Which number are we looking at?
It'll be item 9A.
9A is an apple. Thank you.
We'll do 9A first. And I'll have to recuse myself, unfortunately, because of a potential conflict. So I'm going to hand this over to Vice Chair Valenzuela.
Vice Chair, here's for the first photo of the issues.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we got item 9A. We'll open up the hearing. When do you guys read this?
This is going to be considering a resolution. It would be to amend the guidelines for the Williamson Act and Agriculture Preserve, Williamson Act contracts. In the Agriculture Preserve Program.
And this is the second?
It's actually a resolution, so it's no second reading. It's just...
We'll have a presentation report.
Sure. Haley Lane, Planning Director. I believe this is the second or third iteration of the revised Williamson Act guidelines before you all today. So, based on previous discussion and recommendations from you all, a summary of the edits of this document include... one, language cleanup of the document for better readability for the public, provided better definitions of ag uses, and provided more concrete definitions of compatible uses, such as selling off-site wood. And I want to note we added, that language in the document today to allow for that to happen, because that wasn't, that's not in the current guidelines, and so it's to, provide that additional use to folks. So that is not something we are planning on taking away. That's something we've added into the document. We also added language to clarify how residential uses are involved in contracts. We defined the processes and roles for the departments to take in enforcing and monitoring contracts. We added language to clearly define the non-renewal process, which is identified in government code. There were recognized exemptions for certain forestry activities that have been added. And lastly, we added some language that noted that any personal or financial information shall be confidential to the fullest extent provided by law, excluding the California Constitution and the Information Practice Act of 1977. So that concludes my summary of comments, and happy to answer any questions.
Can I, just to clarify, I did request a clean version of the resolution because
yes,
we had the chair's name.
Yep, provided that.
Yep. I don't have it here.
Yeah, it's right there. Sorry.
Okay. I just need it for
yes.
when we're done.
I have it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Thank you much.
Any correspondence?
Not at the clerk's level.
No correspondence on the way this was acted. Other than adjustment. I find that really odd to be frank. Any reports or arguments on other departments?
Not from other departments that I've received.
Any proponents? Proponent, please.
Either Ryan Walker, President of Siskiyou County Farm Bureau. We've been involved to some degree in this process, although not so much in the last month. And I have to apologize, I have not read the most recent language on the residential issue. But I would like to make a point that many, many ranches in Siskiyou County are really a consolidation of a number of historic smaller farms. And as a result, farmers accumulate a number of residences that they can no longer use, especially with mechanization the way it's going. It has been long a practice for people to rent those houses. And it's probably, I would be surprised if it wasn't the number one source of single home rentals in Siskiyou County. I would hope that that sort of renting would not be a disqualifying activity. We don't snack only for his land anyway, so you are paying the full property tax on the house and the structure itself. But if it disqualifies several thousand acres to rent out a house, that house won't be on the market. And in fact, given the cost of liability insurance on the structure, it probably won't exist anymore. That would be a real shame. So I just hope that there's freedom for people who have these houses that are no longer needed to rent them and take a little pressure off the housing market. Other than that, the changes were certainly acceptable to Farm Bureau. Thank you.
Any opponents? Public comment? Anyone online?
Sean online.
Any rebuttals on either one? I see none of that. So this is just an ordinance. We can close the hearing. Please?
It's a resolution, so yes, we can close.
Okay, so we're going to close the hearing. Discussion by the board. Anyone?
A question. Do you want to answer Mr. Walker's question with regard to the residents?
So that is something that would be allowed as a compatible use, yes.
To be able to rent it. It would be a different issue, I guess, if it became
the primary
rental,
yeah,
if that would be a different endeavor,
right? Or if you know there was no ag production happening and that wasn't
right.
the primary
right.
use,
right.
yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
And did I hear? And the point we can now bring, you can bring logs onto a property and do the. So we're
correct.
Trying to, for lack of a better term, update the way it's going to have to deal. Okay.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Two gentlemen. Do you have a comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do. I'll join us. I'm going to speak to Jerry Johnson first.
I want to defer to Ray Dancer.
Mr. Ray Dancer?
Come on up, sir.
So, this is going to be considered public comment?
This is public comment. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I forgot the yellow card.
My name is Ray Dancer. I think I was told the wrong reason for being here. It was something to do with woodcutters in Siskiyou County. That's why I'm here. And it isn't on the agenda.
Is it?
It might be because of the woodcutters.
Haley, you want to come up and just kind of give an overview of how this all evolved, how woodcutting even got involved in the way of stuff?
And you want to talk about the rumor that's been circulating.
Yeah.
Yes, I can do that. So just a general kind of history of how we got here. There was a property owner that submitted a recension and re-entry Williamson Act contract. They had a code enforcement case on their property due to selling off-site wood on their Williamson Act property, and that's not something that was currently explicitly stated in the guidelines. And so in order to allow for that use, we've had to go through this public process and add in that language, so it is an allowed use. And so we're actually kind of expanding the uses, i.e. being able to cut, you know, offer on-site firewood or salvage timber, you know, for commercial ag production. We're not taking anything away, if anything, we're adding more uses and we're trying to make the program a little bit more viable as, you know, things change.
Several people called me that they heard that we were going to stop firewood sales in Siskiyou County today. And
thank you. That clears up a lot.
Thank you for coming and being part of the process.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, I know you deferred, but did you want to say any comment at all?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Schaffer? Schaefer?
He left.
He left?
All right.
That's the three. No more online. Back to the board.
What's the motion? Yeah, is it correct? I'll make the recommended motion.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, and that is part of the attachment it said here.
I'm looking for it. I'm sorry.
It's third page, or second page after that.
To adopt the resolution amending and determine the rules as categorically exempt from CEQA and also approve the amendments to the rules. Okay, thank you. All righty, Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah, just a quick comment. You know, I appreciate the fact that how this all came about, but I caution us that we should not revisit this thing every time there's some quote-unquote unknown use or non-use that should happen. So I'm expecting this to be a one-time deal as we move forward.
Through the chair. Yeah. I don't disagree, but I think we're finding out as we have opened this door to the Williamson Act, and I know that you've been a proponent for getting to the basics of what's going on. I think we're finding that it is opening up other areas that we didn't anticipate. So there may be more. I don't know that, but I think we're just going to have to. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that we know what's coming yet.
I just wanted to state where I am because I try to find that balance point when it comes to this type of thing.
I get it.
Did we get that roll call done?
I did. Yep.
Okay. Let's move on to item B, which is the planning department on two agricultural preserves. Hey, you back up on this?
Bernadette.
Okay. Susan, please.
Thank you.
So let me get back to the protocol here. So I'm opening up. Is this a continuation? Is it
this?
Ready?
Let me see. I believe this is continued.
So this is a continuation, I believe. This is the one that started the ball rolling?
Yeah. Continued from October 4th.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's actually been continued a few times. So, but yes, I believe October 4th was the last time, and there are two resolutions here for amending, rescinding, and then amending Williamson Act contracts under application APA 22-02.
Okay, so let's go on back to see your presentation on the staff report. And then we'll update.
Yes, this is Bernadette Sisson, assistant planner. So short recap, Mr. and Mrs. Parsons proposed to rescind a portion of two existing Williamson Act contracts and re-enter into one contract consisting of property solely under their ownership with the contracted use of row and field crops with some acreage dedicated to dry farming and a small portion for their home and farm employee housing. This project is within two separate agricultural preserves which have been proposed to be amended, establishing one agricultural preserve consisting of the land owned by the applicant. No land is proposed to be added or removed as part of this project. At the previous hearings for this project, staff reported that there was an active code enforcement case on this property. Since then, the case has been closed. as the property owners no longer are importing and processing firewood for sale and are no longer selling commercially produced wood pellets from the subject property. Their proposal is in line with the county rules and Williams for agricultural preserves and Williamson Act contracts. I do have some corrections in my resolutions. There's a typo in the resolution for the amendment to the agricultural preserves on the first page, and whereas it refers to the wrong file number. Anyhow, I have that corrected for Wendy. It's
which paragraph? I was just going to make a note here real quick.
It's the eighth whereas, and it says APA 2205. It should read APA 2202. And then in the other resolution, the one for the Williamson contract, in the seventh whereas, it's also the same correction, should be APA 2202. On the second page, the second whereas down, same correction, APA 2202. And then on the second page, the fourth whereas is a duplicate of the third, so it needs to be lined out.
And you have clean versions of both of those resolutions.
Right.
Do you have two of each? If you have one, it's fine, but I mean, we'll make it work.
I have one.
Okay.
And with those corrections, staff recommends determining this project exempt from CEQA, pursuant to CEQA guideline section 15317, open space easements or contracts, and adopt the resolutions approving the rescission of the applicant's property and re-entry of new Williams Map contracts and amending the agricultural preserves. Thank you.
Correspondence,
No, not in addition to what we had received prior.
And no further reports from other agencies or anything?
Correct.
I do, actually.
Or did you have something from code enforcement?
I do. I have the sign-off letter from code enforcement where you received this kind of short notice. I have copies for everyone.
And the rest can go through.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Oh. That was updated. That was updated.
Okay, so that's just a sign off on the. Let's see, proponents' arguments. Any opponents? Public comment?
Showing
none
online.
Thank you. Rebuttals, none, neither one. I close the hearing, Wendy?
Correct.
Discussion on the board?
Who's the chair?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious if.
Do you have a statement?
You do have a statement?
That's what I asked for.
Oh, I'm
the
sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Come on up. We can correct it. Our policies and procedures. Try to adjust.
My name is Audrey Parsons, and I just have a short statement. Our main goal today is to request your approval of our application to rescind and re-enter the Williamson Act contracts to consolidate all of our property under one contract. In this process, we have had to stop selling firewood. We would like to seek a way to continue this business that is so vital to Siskiyou County. In our research on this issue, Matt has spoken with several other people who sell firewood and discovered that there are only about five people who've been able to legally obtain a business license to sell firewood. In Siskiyou County, there are 25,000 fireplaces and only five legal entities to purchase firewood from. Something needs to be done to change this. We have invested in the purchase of three firewood processors, three low-profile forklifts, as well as semi-trucks, and built 500 tower containers and paid inventory tax on all of it to Siskiyou County, not to mention paying over $100,000 over several years in sales tax to the state of California. Many of our customers have offered to speak or write letters on our behalf. Our desire is to continue to serve them. apparently the only avenue available to us to obtain a license to sell firewood hangs in the balance of your approval of changes to the current Williamson Act proposed by the Planning Department. Then we must apply for rezoning and a use permit at an estimated cost of about $4,200. We are asking if it is possible for you to waive this fee so that we can continue to serve Siskiyou County by providing firewood to its citizens. Thank you.
And all that opponents' arguments, again, no opponents. I didn't see any public comment. Has that changed? There's no rebuttals. We close the hearing again, Wendy?
Correct. Thank you.
Discussion by the board. There's no discussion.
I'm going to the chair.
Yeah.
It's fine. I just want to be clear. I think at the last hearing, we heard the cost was upwards of $100,000. And I think we got that clarified. And so what I'm hearing now is it's $4,200 to go through a rezoning process to, I mean, with change, if we approve this today, that opens that door for the property owners to go down that path of rezone and start commercial activity that they had before.
Correct. And I believe at that meeting we provided about like three or four pathways that folks can go, and that, you know, 100K upwards number was, I believe, just, you know, moving the whole facility to another part of the property where there wouldn't be the rezone. But yes, you are correct, you know, with the rezone, and then there would be a use permit for allowing that on AG2, because that's what is allowed in our county code. That would be the most viable.
Okay.
I just want to address the, I applaud you for getting a business license. Most don't. And most don't because of federal regulations, where a lot of the wood comes from. You know, if you do sell firewood off National Forest and you're a woodcutter, legally, you're not supposed to be doing that under a non-commercial wood permit. And in order to set up a commercial wood operation for which you have a business license for anything else, it has to go through the whole EA process and the numerous regulations and collection pieces that federal agencies have set up. So, though there may be a few, I can point to probably half a dozen wood trucks just along Highway 3 in Scott Valley. I'm selling wood. You know, most of them are people making a little extra money on the side. The Forest Service knows about it. I don't think that we're going to cure that here. You know, that's Siskiyou County culture, if you will. But for your operation, though, I wish there were more of them in the valley, because we definitely need, rather than hauling biomass to Klamath Falls and then, you know, using all that diesel to get there and burning it up, you know, or burning piles of grain to that side. I just wanted to state that for those who may be listening, that we're somehow getting rid of firewood operations and that kind of thing. No, it's a lot more complex than that, and I don't care as a county government to even get involved in a lot of it.
Well, I would just say this. Most of the people I know, they go out and cut the wood for themselves. It's a recreational thing. They do it. They're not doing it for money. The people I do see that have the shopping center in South County where they're selling, you know, that's, you know, I mean, I just don't have the luxury of time for us to go after all that stuff. But that's completely separate than a full blown what I call a commercial operation, mm-hmm. where you're bringing something in and you're in the business up. That's a separate thing. So mm-hmm. Again, we're not going to be able to cure every little detail, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it.
And wherever. Yeah, and I think we've done as best as we can to get at least to a place to where you can actually operate again, even though there's going to be another step. I think that's as good as it gets. I don't know how to say that. The only conflict that I see is that if the county was charging you, you know, inventory tax and property or equipment tax,
that's a different animal, and it's that's what triggers in my mind coming from business that, you know, it almost legitimizes that you were okay at that point. But at any rate, that's a different animal than we're dealing with today. And I think that for where we've taken this to today, I don't know that we can do much more.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make it.
Second.
That's the recommended motion, correct?
Sure.
The corrected recommended motion. You know what to do, Wendy, and you know when to do it.
Well, yeah, the motion is correct. It's we. I know. Sorry. And let's see. Okay, Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
I guess. All right. Let's go on to... Hey, I keep missing these articles. I'm sorry, Mrs. Parsons. I had the yellow sheet there all along.